when you're working with events, there's a lot of high highs and very busy periods, and then there's a lot of lower periods as well where it's more relaxed. Obviously, the closer you get to the event, the more intense it gets, and the more requests we get from partners, the more speakers need to be supported, so more attendees register and have questions. So it's very cyclical, where you see the closer you get to the event, the more people we also have. We work with a team of freelancers that I really appreciate, where it's also very easy to say, okay, we're getting closer to the event, we need more people to man the stations, versus throughout the year, where then the marketing comes into play, keeping the brand current, and also the content board keeping track of what's happening in the industry and what are we going to talk about. So it depends on which phase we are in the year. The team, kind of like an accordion, grows and goes smaller and grows based on the freelancers. For generative AI, that's definitely something by June. Again, it's 6 months from now. Like you say, the industry and the technology is so rapidly moving that by June we will have some interesting people talking about generative AI and the actual applications in fintech in the upcoming 6 months to a year. Let's say there will be a bit of a forward look, but it's very pragmatic, very looking at the technology now and what you need to do as a company to be prepared, and how can you harness the power of this.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Heads Talk with me, Elaine Pringle-Schwetter, the podcast where we talk to C-level executives, leaders of institutions and heads of multinationals. What are the current topics they talk? We listen.
Can you imagine getting into a business or a market where you actually spend 100 billion plus on a piece of paper?
Are you kidding me?
It was like a frying pan to the head.
I got nothing against CFOs.
It was not just the job of a lifetime, it was the job of 1,000 lifetimes.
My guest today is behind the must-attend UK FinTech show that brings together bankers, insurers, service providers, technology and financial thought leaders. He currently wears a number of hats, to include an entrepreneur, investor and the CEO of a media company. Very comfortable with stakeholder engagement, he has worked successfully with government bodies, SMEs and multinational organisations. Incidentally, Heads Talk has collaborated with the FinTech Week show for this FinTech series. Please check the episode description for further details.
FinTech Week London is a week-long celebration of London's innovative FinTech scene from 10 until the 14th of June. Get your tickets now for our flagship conference on Thursday the 13th of June at the Park Plaza Victoria, London. Join us and meet over 1,000 senior decision makers from the leading FinTechs, banks, investment firms, regulatory bodies, insurers, and service providers. Get your tickets now on www.fintechweek.london.
This episode is sponsored by Axia. Axia is the leading private cloud platform in the Alessian and Mattermost ecosystem, combining intelligent solutions with security and control. Axia's clients profit from digitalization and automation of critical business processes in a cloud and hybrid architecture. 150 staff provide migration, engineering and support services to over 200 leading organizations in 32 countries.
Heads Talk podcast with your host Elaine Pringle-Schwitter.
Raf De Kemper is the founder and CEO of FinTech Week London. He commenced his career in software research centres in 2010. Over the past 5 years, Raf has been actively engaged in the FinTech industry, assuming the role of Director of Business Development and Community for a FinTech ecosystem in Belgium. In his capacity, he successfully spearheaded various industry events, cultivating a deep passion for both fintech and health tech. Drawing from his rich experience, Raf has orchestrated large and small-scale events across different industries and around the globe. His dual interest in fintech and health tech has fueled his commitment to delivering impactful and insightful gatherings. In anticipation of this year's event, we will delve in the overarching themes, exploring the distinguished participants and unveil the novel elements that will set the tone for the occasion. Let's have a conversation now. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Raf to Heads Talk. Many thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Elaine. Thank you for that wonderful introduction and for including me as well.
Excellent. Once again, a pleasure to collaborate with you for this exciting series to kickstart the new year. This episode is dedicated to the FinTech Week London event, promising my listeners valuable insights. But first, Raf, I'd like you to enrich my introduction of you by sharing with my listeners your background and the inspiration behind organizing this event.
Of course, yeah. I started very early on in my career with events. In my first job, there were always events being organized to bring everybody together because it was software research. So there had to be dissemination of information throughout the whole, well, let's say academic world.
Mm-hmm.
And we organized events from, I think, 20, 30 people, which were small events, up until thousands of people. And as someone in the project management part of the company, my involvement there was rather limited. It was just show up and do whatever job they tell you to do, whether it's scanning badges or taking codes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it started very early on where I saw this vibrant, bustling energy of an event, and I saw what could happen if you brought people together.
Mm-hmm.
So from there on, it's always been something that I found very inspiring. Later on, when I went more into software sales, one of the biggest companies I worked with was Salesforce. They do their Dreamforce in San Francisco. It's 170,000 people. So one year I was very lucky and I got invited. And even there you could see where that was then a customer event where something like that can work. So I've always seen the value in bringing people together physically and putting them in the same room and having a conversation. So that's kind of how that generically grew throughout my career. And when I was in Brussels, that was part of my job, was bringing people together around FinTech.
Mm-hmm.
Created the Digital Finance Summit there. And based on that, said, well, actually, if you look at London, there's an even bigger ecosystem there of FinTech companies, financial services. And at that point said, there might be a room, I think it was 2021, where the old London FinTech Week, which existed before, kind of fizzled out. And we said with a group of people, okay, let's bring this back and bring our community back together. And that's how FinTech Week London started in 2021, full in COVID restrictions still, actually.
All right. So when you said the old London FinTech Week, are you talking about, there's an event called the UK FinTech Week. Was that the old one or was that a separate event?
No, that's definitely still there. We work together with them as well. UK FinTech Week is done by Innovate Finance. So they have their own merit, their own
mm-hmm,
focus
mm-hmm.
On UK as a whole. And we really are city to city, focused a little bit more on the technology part of it as well with FinTech Week London.
Okay, excellent, excellent. Let's delve into the event itself. That's the FinTech Week London. There are, you know, as we mentioned, there are a number of FinTech events around Europe and the world. So could you shed light on its origin, its mission and its current standing in the industry and how this event differs from others?
Of course, yeah. FinTech Week London will be this year in the week of the 10th until the 14th of June. We actually moved dates a few times across the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
We started out in July, then noticed that was a very good month in the industry because there weren't a lot of events happening. But on the other hand, internationally, it was a bit of a problem because especially in Europe, July is a traditional holiday month. So we moved a bit earlier to June. And then last year, we noticed there was a London Tech Week, then there was Money 2020, and then there was us. So that was a bit too much for the industry and people said, why aren't you doing this together with other players? So that's why we're very happy this year to work together with London Tech Week. Actually, they bring about 30,000 people to the city of London and they have their own festival. They have their own conference Monday through Wednesday. And then our conference will come on Thursday. So if you look at how we started, it's always been the goal to bring people together and to make meaningful connections. Now, that sounds a bit fluffy. What does that actually mean? We have about 70% of our audience is decision makers. So we're looking at 1,000 people for the conference, and we're making sure that everybody who's there is kind of a curated audience. It's the right person to talk to. It's the right person to make decisions and to do business with. And we bring all of them together. It's called FinTech Week, but it's not only from the FinTech industry. It's also from the financial services industry as a whole. It's people from banks. It's people from incumbents, from insurers who are there basically to either learn about what the topics are and what the knowledge and thought leaders have to say about those, or to network and make new connections. Some people want to sell, some people want to buy, some people want to forge partnerships. So it's a very broad list of goals that people have when they attend FinTech Week London.
And some people want to learn, of course. So it's a case of the old world, the traditional establishments meet the new world, and this is a place they can do that. Okay.
Exactly.
Moving forward, let's discuss the theme and content for the year 2024. What topics will be covered, and what's capturing everyone's attention? You know, if you can provide listeners, provide sort of an enlightenment for my listeners on what to expect.
For sure. I think we're always looking at the evolving of the financial services industry. And like you said, there's more traditional approach. There's all these new technologies and trends that are coming out. Mm-hmm. And each year at FinTech Week London, we try to, it's not always easy, try to look ahead, because you start with your conference topics, let's say October, and it's for June the next year. But there's a few topics that we know for sure will still be discussed and will still be relevant and have been for the last few years. Mm-hmm. If you look at embedded finance, if you look at insurtech, if you look at payments, these are fields where there's always a lot of movement in the financial services industry. So we'll definitely be looking at what's the status in June of those topics and what are the latest trends. I mean, last year there was a lot to do about buy now, pay later. There might still be some stuff there, but it's a lot of embedded payments and maybe even looking at the bigger players that are coming into payments that aren't necessarily banks or financial institutions, if you look at the big tech players.
Absolutely.
So that's a very interesting interesting topic to look at. Of course, there's a big part of our energy and focus still going to be on Web3, the metaverse and crypto, because even though some people claim that crypto is over and done with because of what happened in the last years, I don't think so. We think that there's still a role for crypto to be played in the future. Hopefully a bit more structured and regulated, which is also something the FCA actually was on stage last year announcing their new rules for crypto. And then there's the most recent topic of artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence is going to play a big role in every industry, but what is going to happen in the financial services industry? And we try to approach all of these topics in a very pragmatic way. It's not the inspirational conference of where will it be in 10 years, but it's very much a how is this impacting your business at this time? And there you go, the business views and which technology is there and how can you interact with that technology? And overall, what kind of opportunities does it give to our industry? Because that's mainly what we want to focus on is the opportunities, not only for the industry, but also for the environment, looking at inclusive ESG, looking at how can we use fintech for good. Diversity and inclusion is an important part of our agenda, is an important part of starting with our content board, going down to the speakers, going down to the audience. So using our power for good is definitely something we are looking at as well.
That's good. That's good. Thanks for that. FinTech Week London, the name, the brand. Am I right in saying that this event is only in the UK? You don't have a sort of a FinTech Week Paris, FinTech Week Berlin?
We don't have one, but there is definitely FinTech Weeks all across the world. I think there's Amsterdam FinTech Week. There's variations of the theme with Singapore FinTech Festival. So the concept of organizing several events around FinTech and financial services in 1 week is definitely not something we invented, but it is something that we saw in London that was missing, according to us.
Okay.
And that's why we started FinTech Week London. And it's a collaboration. We're organizing a few things, like we're doing a VIP dinner for 100 people. We're doing mostly speakers and people from the government as well. We're doing our conference, which is our one-day conference on the 13th of June. We're doing an industry party, but we're also very much open to collaborating with other people. That's why we became a fringe event partner for London Tech Week. That's why we're working with the FinTech Fringe Festival, who's organizing activities throughout the week for scaling and growing companies. So it's definitely our goal to bring as many people together as we can to make it as efficient as possible for anyone in London that week to say, okay, instead of going to London four times throughout the next month, I can go to London for that 1 week and get everything I need from A to Z during that week, and also have fun where there's some drinks and networking included, etc. So it's not our let's say IP or ID to do something together in a week. And we
like
are
hard
focused on London at the moment.
Australia,
There you go. There you go. We're not the only ones, but we're definitely focused on London for the moment. And who's to say in the future if we see regions that don't have a similar concept that ask us where we go, okay, fine, let's help you out and show you how we did it in London and maybe set something up here as well.
Okay. No, that's good. Thanks for that. Let's look at some of the key stakeholders of the event. It's not a case of you naming names if you don't want to name names. It's more sort of let's look at some of the numbers. What's a typical number of attendees for the week, the number of speakers, if you could sort of give us a feel of numbers for that event.
So if you look throughout the week, we're looking anywhere between 2,500, 3,500 people based on the last weeks that we organized. Mm-hmm. That number could go well up. Like I said, we're now doing it in the same week as London Tech Week. So that number could be higher. However, if you look at our conference, that will be about 1,000 people that are attending. Mm-hmm. 120 speakers, 40 to 50 companies partners, 40 media partners as well. Mm-hmm. So it's not the biggest event, but it's also definitely not a small event. And we do that on purpose because we think a curated audience and meaningful connections, there's a certain minimum level of size you need, but there's also a maximum level of size where if it gets too big, it doesn't become more efficient and it becomes something where it's more commercial. Mm-hmm. In terms of focus for us, it's really to make sure that it's decision makers that are there. And we do have an audience acquisition team that really works on getting the right people there. And when talking about types of companies or stakeholders, there's the government. I mean, we collaborate with strategic partners like London and Partners, like the London Stock Exchange and others, where it's important to have the government and the regulator like the FCA included in the conversation. Yeah. There's the big tech who you need. There's the incumbents and the traditional banking and insurance sector. Mm-hmm. But there's then also the challenger banks or the neo banks, however you want to call them. Yeah. And there's a lot of fintech companies that do a bit of everything, being they're either focused on banking or insurance or on regulation or on risk or on so many other things. Fintech is such a broad name where it's basically financial services companies and tech companies or a company that does both. So it's a real let's say a real combination of every part of the industry that you have to bring together to have a meaningful event, because else you're just shouting into an echo chamber and it's just startups talking to startups or it's just banks talking to banks, which I think has value on its own if that's your specific merit of your event. But ours is really to get all the stakeholders around.
Sort of a convenient marriage of the two.
Sure.
I want to ask, in terms of the event, is there any streaming at all? Can people view any of this live online, or do we get sort of end of the day feedback, this is what's happened kind of thing?
There is so definitely in the first year we did it, 2021 was still during the COVID restrictions, so we had a full hybrid there where only half of the amount of people was allowed at the venue, still social distancing. So then we did a full live stream of everything, and we saw there was a big online following as well.
Yes.
However, we still, like I said, because that's how it grew with me, I still believe in those personal connections, which are very hard to mimic online. So we're really focused on in person. There has always been a videoing of all the sessions.
Yeah,
I think 2 years ago, we did put all sessions online. Last year, we opted just for the top sessions to be fully online. And for the rest, it's more snippets that we use on social media, where there's parts of panels and interesting bits that you can see. And we do work together with a lot of media partners. So, for instance, the FinTech Times has always done a daily roundup of our of our speakers and the most important quotes. FinTech Finance or FF News has always done something like they've done a salon with interviews of our hair salon, actually, which was pretty funny, with interviews of our speakers on what they're going to talk about. So there is always information coming online, but we're not fully broadcasting everything live. I also think in the audience of today is not requesting that. I mean, I think for some sort of content, they are willing to leave their house and they're willing to see it if it's combined with interesting meetings and seeing interesting people. There are some highlights that we need to put online, which we definitely do, but just the full live streaming of 2 stages of 8 hours, I don't think that's what the audience is looking for.
Yeah, I think people are returning to pre-pandemic behaviors, not just people, events as well, where they're sort of minimizing sort of the hybrid, the necessary hybrid version of events that they had at the time, and it's been back to live and in person. And I think if the pandemic has taught us anything, is that everybody wants to be live and in person and meeting and chatting. And as you mentioned, and you continually talk about throughout this episode, is the need for meaningful, as you put it, in-person conversations, as opposed to a streaming where you have thousands of people looking at it and switching, going in and out of it, but there's no sort of meaningful connections in that sense. So I think I can understand where you're going with that. Right. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on sort of the rapid pace of change in the fintech and the financial world over the years. Sort of, you know, how do you manage to keep up with these shifts, especially in the incorporation of generative AI, which is like the new kid on the block? So my question is, has this development, generative AI, changed or at least influenced how, this is how and not what, how you deliver your content at your event?
I think if you look at us and the implementation, well, there's two things to look at, right? There's generative AI in the fintech sector, and there's generative AI in the event sector. And if we're using it to change what we're doing, I think in the fintech sector, it's still too early to say what the impact will be. There's a lot of people who are more knowledgeable about it than me. And that's actually how we succeed with our content. We've always been very highly praised about our content. And that's because we work with the best and the brightest in the industry. So what we do is we pull together a content board in about right after the event. So let's say September of the year, the most important thought leaders on certain topics. We do kind of have to look at which topics are coming up. And then we bring those people together in a content board and say, okay, what are we going to talk about next year in June? They make suggestions. We look for speakers. We do a call for speakers, which is open for the moment. And we also look at who's saying what, and then we include that on stage. So I think for generative AI, that's definitely something by June. Again, it's 6 months from now. Like you say, the industry and the technology is so rapidly moving that by June, we will have some interesting people talking about generative AI and the actual applications in fintech in the upcoming 6 months to a year, let's say. There will be a bit of a forward look, but it's very pragmatic, very looking at the technology now and what do you need to do as a company to be prepared and how can you harness the power of this. If you look at our event, we don't use it in an extensive way. Obviously, there's some copy that is checked off against generative AI or things like ChatGPT. There is some questions that we asked, I mean, just for fun, let's say, what do you think are the trends that are coming up? But we use it mostly, I think, to check the things we have and what we're thinking at this point, where I think at this point we still have people that are, I have to be careful what I say, but I think at this point we still have people that are smarter than the tools, where the tools are just regurgitating what has been put in. So we do have visionaries that are better than what's coming out of ChatGPT and those things, I think, for the moment. Where the future will lead, I don't believe in a world where the machines will fully take over. I like I said, it's very powerful and it's something you can use and it can benefit you very well, but you always have to remind that it just gives you what it's being fed, right? And if we stop feeding it, if we stop having these visionary speakers, these thought leaders, and if we stop listening to them, and if they stop writing blogs and inputting all that information, at some point it will come to a halt because there's no more new ideas that are coming into it. So I think there's always going to be room for conferences and thought leaders and people thinking outside of the box and showing their expertise more than just a bunch of tools. Where I do see it working is obviously in the industry itself, where it can help with certain tasks, with better customer experience, those kinds of things. But that's something we'll discuss in June on stage.
Yeah, as you said, there's sort of 6 months to the event itself, and we're talking about generative AI, and perhaps there might be some developments in artificial general intelligence by then, and then maybe you might sort of modify your answer accordingly. Okay,
that could very well be. So don't hold me to what I said. Now I will. Maybe, I will rethink it in June.
I'll probably release this episode really early, so then you know. So then you're still quite current. Okay,
please do.
Sort of taking a moment to acknowledge the crucial role of your team. Would you like to sort of give a shout out to the individuals behind the scenes organizing this event, and also if you could sort of shed some light on the diverse roles they play in ensuring its success year on year?
Of course, yeah. I think it's, if I have to do a shout out, I won't name names, but I want to shout out the entire team, because everybody, each individual really contributes to the success of the event and to the execution of the vision of the company. So there's not one person where I could say that's more, this person is more important than the rest, because every part of the machine has to run smoothly for people to have a pleasant and smooth experience. I think we are a very, there's a very, when you're working with events, there's a lot of high highs and very busy periods, and then there's a lot of lower periods as well where it's more relaxed. Obviously, the closer you get to the event, the more intense it gets, and the more requests we get from partners, the more speakers need to be supported, the more attendees register and have questions. So it's very cyclical, where you see the closer you get to the event, the more people we also have. We work with a team of freelancers that I really appreciate, where it's also very easy to say, okay, we're getting closer to the event, we need more people to man the stations, versus throughout the year, where then the marketing comes into play, keeping the brand current, and also the content board keeping track of what's happening in the industry and what are we going to talk about. So It depends on which phase we are in the year. The team kind of like an accordion grows and goes smaller and grows based on the freelancers. Where at the height of the event itself, on the day of the event, it's always so fun to see people who are in accounting, who are in editing, who are in marketing, and just everybody shows up and says, okay, let's make this a success. And like I did in the beginning of my career, even though I was doing project management, all of a sudden I was guiding one of the princes of the Netherlands to the stage and explaining to him what he would have to do, and that he was getting mic'd. And that's something we see at our event as well. Everybody comes together and says, okay, let's make it a success. And where can I help? What can I do? Somebody's running the stage, somebody's managing the speakers, somebody else is running the check-in desk. and that's on top of their normal job, let's say. So it's always good to see everybody come together and make it a success.
That's great. That's great. So for my listeners, can you just provide a quick reminder of the event date, where it is, and how they can actively participate?
Of course. So the full event week, Fintech Week London, is running from the 10th until the 14th of June this year, 2024. Mm-hmm. Our biggest part of that week is our flagship conference, which will be on Thursday, the 13th of June. Mm-hmm. And specifically, there's currently an early bird discount, which is combinable with the headstock discount that is available. So people can just go to fintechweek.london on our website, register for tickets either for different events or our flagship conference.
Excellent, excellent. Listeners, more details can be found in the show notes, so please check it out there. It truly sounds like an exciting event, and Headstock is delighted to partner with you, Raf. The continuous excellence demonstrated by you and your team each year is commendable, and we look forward to many more successful events and potential collaborations. So with that, Raf de Kempe, it's been a pleasure. Many thanks for your time and insights.
Thank you so much. The pleasure was all mine, and I'm looking forward to seeing you and many of the listeners on our event in June as well.
Thanks for joining me today on this episode of Heads Talk. Don't forget to subscribe to the show via my website, elainepringle.com/headstalk, or wherever you get your podcasts. Finally, I'd like to thank our sponsors, guests, and you for helping to make the show possible. Please join me next time, where I'll be featuring more executives, C-suite leaders, and heads of multinationals.
Heads Talk podcast with your host, Elaine Pringle-Schwitter.